Parshas Chukas, last week's Parsha, talks about many things. One of the main events that are there is Parshas the Parah, the idea of Parah Aduma, which Rashi tells us is a Chayk. Torah tells us it's a Chayk, and we don't really understand it. Shlomo HaMelech said he doesn't understand it. It's one of those things beyond our comprehension. The Torah writes, Zois Chukas HaTorah. This is the chayk of the Torah, and then it goes on to describe the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, what do you mean Zois Chukas HaTorah? It's not the Torah, it's one small part of the Torah. It should be Zois Chukas HaToma, Zois Chukas HaParah. Why do you make it sound like that this is the whole Torah? This is one very small fragment of the Torah. So the answer that is given is that this is the lesson for all of the mitzvahs. Although other mitzvahs we claim to know why we do it, we know why we wear tefillin, and we know why we eat matzah, and we know why we keep Shabbos, but what we learn from Parah is we don't really understand why we do anything. We have a little bit of a reason, a little bit of an insight, but at the end of the day, all mitzvahs that are kept are because Hashem said so. That's why we keep mitzvahs for no other reason than because kach tzivei Hashem. And that's why it's chukas ha-teira, it's for all of teira. All the mitzvahs and everything we do in life is not because we understand it. Because like we mentioned last week, if we keep milah on the day on day 8, because the Gemara said with the parents, so when it veers off from fitting into that narrative, that's it, we don't have to keep it anymore. The answer is no. We keep mitzvahs because Hashem said so. We're an eved. We do what we're told. Now, sometimes we have an inkling of a reason, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have more of a reason, sometimes we have less. But at the end of the day, the Torah is letting us know, don't go the other way and think that, oh, Parah is the one I don't understand, everything else I totally understand. No. Parah, you have absolutely no idea. The other mitzvahs, you have a little bit less than, you have a little bit more idea, but ultimately you're not doing them because of your logical conclusion. Many people ask that there seems to be a steer in Rashi. Rashi says later on that the reason for Parah is not a chayk. It's the Parah is there to clean up the mess of the child. The Parah is the parent, the eagle is the child, and the parent comes to clean up the child's mess. So people say it's a steer in Rashi. Is the reason that we don't understand, or is it a parent-child relationship? I believe the answer is it's not a contradiction at all, and the two Rashis work beautifully together. We just got finished saying that the idea of Parshas Parah is a chayk. Accept it and move on. Okay, but that's not always so easy to do. In life, we like to have a little bit more than that. You know, when someone tells you, just do what I say and keep quiet, it's not a great feeling. It doesn't feel great. You know, we do it often. You know, we tell our children, just do it. You need to do it. Don't ask so many questions. Do it with people at work. We do it with friends. But it doesn't leave you with a very, 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 you know, self-fulfilling feeling. So how do we improve that feeling? With the other Rashi. Rashi says, when you look at Parah Aduma, two things should pop into your head. Thought number one is, do what you're told, because this is what Hashem said. And thought number two is, remember the parent-child relationship. What's the eagle? The eagle represents a parent-child relationship. What's significant about a parent-child relationship is that the parent ultimately only wants to do what's best for the child. When the mother comes and cleans up the child's mess, why does the parent do that? Because the parent loves their child and wants to be there for them and give to them and ultimately want what's only best for them. So every time we look at Parshas Parah, two things jump at us. First of all, just do. Don't ask questions. And secondly, and this is what makes it a little bit easier to comprehend, is that there's also a parent-child element to the Parah, because the Parah is the parent and the eagle is the child. So every single time we're presented in life with situations that don't make sense to us, so our first thought process should be, it's okay, I don't have to understand. Our follow-up thought process should be, but, like in every parent-child relationship, I believe that whatever took place is for my best. Just like every parent. When parents do things to the children, it does not look very enjoyable. No kid that I know wants to go to the dentist, and no kids want to go to school on a lot of days, but they have to. That's what's best for them. So every single time we're presented with a dilemma in life, and things just don't make sense to us. So the thought process should be the Parah Aduma. It doesn't have to make sense. It's okay. You don't have to understand why everything goes the way it goes. I was once talking to a doctor. He told me he has it all the time. Patients come in, and they self-diagnose themselves. They know exactly what they have. And he asks them, where did you know? Google, what do you mean? It's on the internet. I put in what I have and it gives me a whole list of things. These people come with a long list of things they think they're about to die. And the doctor has to explain to them, you have to know, it's not so simple. So it's not so bad in Rabbanan. So although we do have people who will Google Shiles and tell me, but it says on this website, this, okay, fine, it says on the website, I'm not going to argue. So we do live in a generation where we have this thirst for knowledge. But sometimes you have to just throw up your hand and say, listen, I don't understand why this happened. You know, why did this event happen, that event, we don't understand why it happened. And then the follow-up to that is not just swallow it and say, well, I don't understand it. But understand that although I don't understand it, but I believe in this parent-child relationship that's represented by the Parah Aduma, the eagle and the child, and therefore that gives me a little bit more of a comforting feeling of, okay, I don't understand it, but it's okay because I believe it's coming from a good place. That's, I think, the two Rashi, I think, go very nicely together. They complement each other. It's not just accept it and move on. Right? No one wants to be told, accept it and move on, don't ask questions. That's not a good feeling. You want to believe that accept it and move on because it's really coming from a good place. When a parent tells a child, just do what I tell you, trust me, it's good. So again, sometimes children are skeptical, but at the end of the day, they believe that this is good for them. So too, when we're having, you know, a nisoyan, something that seems difficult to us, so step number one is to remember, accept it, and step number two is the parent-child relationship. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say about himself, when he would talk to people that are going through struggles, he said when he was in Europe still, before he came to America, he was looking for rabbinic positions. The way it used to work, if you learned in the Slobodka Kotel, where that's where Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky learned with some other great leaders of the previous generation, Reb Huntner was there, and Reb Ruderman was there, and Reb David Leibowitz from Chafetz Chaim was there. A lot of great gedolim learned in the Slobodka Kotel. But there was the way it worked was after you learned a certain amount of years, you went out and got a job and paid back, helped support the yeshiva. That was the procedure. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky at that point already had a few kids and he was in somewhat form of debt. And he was looking for rabbinic positions. I can imagine Rabbi Yaakov was probably a very good person fit for a rabbinic position, a big Talmid Chacham. And he went to four or five little towns in Europe, and each town he didn't get the job. One was so close, he was supposed to get it Matzah Shabbos after his Prabhu, he lost it. And he was very, very depressed, very saddened over this, and he gave up. He said, what am I going to do? I got to make money. So he went to America. He said when he reflected back on that story, he looked back and all those four or five positions that he missed, that he didn't get, every one of those towns were wiped out completely by the Nazis. Shul, community, rabbi included, no one survived. So he used to tell people that were going through a tough time in life. He said, listen, I know right now it's hard to see why this is good, but you know sometimes we have to believe that this is the best thing for you. Not to get this position, not to get this raise, not to get this job is the best thing in the world. Not always at the time is it easy to see, but if a person believes in this, what we call the bigger picture, it makes it, I say, slightly easier. Not easy, slightly easier to accept what we call the bumps in life. Rabbi Lau in his book writes that when he was separated from his mother, when they finally were kicked out of the Pietruka ghetto, so they were at the train station, and he was with his mother and his older brother Naftolchik. His older brother Naftali ultimately saved his life. A great, great book to read. I think I'm on my third time reading it now. I started reading for the third time. Chazara, third time. It's an unbelievable book to get an insight into the world that was there. It's a terrific book. So in that book, so Rabbi Lau reflects that when he was 7 years old, so it was him and his mother and his brother Naftali, and they were at the train station. They were being put into different carts. And he wanted to stay with his mother. Every seven-year-old boy doesn't know any better. He wants to stay with his mother. But his mother knew that this is probably not the best thing for him. So his mother pushed him to the other side with his brother and all the other men. And he was so upset, he writes. He was so disturbed by being separated by his mother. He was pounding on his brother's chest, screaming, what are you doing to me? I need to be with my mother. I want to be with my mother. He was so saddened by the fact that he was separated from his mother. And not until later on did he realize that was the greatest thing in the world for him. If he would have ended up with his mother, with the women, most of them did not survive. Even though his mother survived quite long. His mother only died a few months before liberation in the camp. He found out later in his life about how his mother died. But she was very tough. The people in the camp used to help her. They used to hold her up during the roll call so she should look like she's really on her own, even though she really was very, very, very weak. But she died. It's a shame. She died only a few months before liberation. But pushing him into that direction where the men were ultimately the greatest thing. At that time, he thought his world fell apart. He thought he was separated from his mother, and this was the worst thing in the world. His mom's hitting his brother, pounding on his chest, hitting him. Let me go, I want to go. And he kept on screaming. It took a while to calm him down, even in the train. People tried to calm him down. Ultimately, it was the greatest thing. So this is the two ideas of Parshas Parah, of not understanding the will of Hashem, but also accepting that this is the best thing for us. I took my daughter bowling on Friday. Schools are off, camps don't start yet. So we went bowling. So she asked me if I can daven for her to get a strike. Okay. So I said, I'm not a Rebbe, but I'll try my best. So she got 9 out of 10. She got 9 out of 10. So I told her, I said, there's a message over here. I said, Hashem did not want you to get a strike, and it's the best thing for you not to get a strike. She kind of looked at me like I was crazy. I said, but this is what we have to try to mechanach children at a young age. For some reason, I have no idea why, shouldn't have got a strike. It probably doesn't really matter too much in the real world. But these are the things that Baruch Hu, all these little things that he does for us are ultimately for our benefit. Now, sometimes we see it. Often we don't. But I believe strongly that the lesson of Parah is a dual message. It's we don't understand, but it's also coupled with the fact that we believe it's all for our benefit. If that's the attitude, then again, the bumps in life become a little bit more manageable. Not necessarily easy, but slightly more manageable. Are we going to be kicked out at 10 o'clock?
No.
Okay. There we go. Terrific. We can go a whole day. Okay, so we left off, we were discussing over here the Ramah. Yeah, we're holding over here in the sugya of Mila. We still haven't yet started the Mishnah. I'm hoping by next week we'll start the Mishnah. I sent it in Tehillah. He didn't put it in. He doesn't put it in. I know we're working on it. We're trying to get the Sunday Shom quicker up online. Yeah, it should not be connected. No, we're holding over here. We're in our intro to Rebbe Elazar de Mila. I do hope to start the Mishnah sooner rather than later. But we're still in the intro to Rebbe Elazar de Mila. So we mentioned just very b'kitzur last week. There's one pasuk in the Torah that tells us a lot about the mitzvah of Mila, and that's the pasuk of Parshas Lech Lecha. B'yayim Hashmini Imo B'sar Elosif, in which that pasuk, the Gemara says, "U'b'yayim V'loy B'layla." Mila can't be done at night. And presumably b'yoyim, and not earlier than b'yoyim hashmini v'loy lefnei kein. The assumption we all know is if you ever go to a bris, you never, or very rarely ever have a bris before day 7. Often you have a bris after day 8. You have a case with the baby 6, so they delay the mila. But to have a bris before day 8 is almost unheard of. However, the Rama writes over here in Shulchan Aruch, number 1, quoting from a Rosh, quoting from Abenu Shimshin, says the Rama, Hago, ovaru mol b'layla. Let's say a person b'dieved did a mila at night. So the Allah is tzarech lachzu ul hatif mele dambris. He has to do what's known as a toughest dambris. Meaning that mila is taka, not a kosher mila. You have to make some form of a bleeding. You have to poke, create some form of a hitzos dam. And that will be the fulfillment of the mila. So the assumption is that mila belayla is not kosher. However, writes the Ramah, molo toich shmeina ubiyoim. But let's say you did the mila before the 8th day, but you did it during the day. It was day 7 during the afternoon. So the Ramah yotza, you are yotza the mila. So clearly the Rama is drawing a distinction between a mila b'layla, which is completely invalid, and a mila before day 8, which is valid. So the question is, what's the difference? It means within the 8th day, it's before the 8th day came.
But not fully.
That means, again, let's say today would be day 8. Today's Sunday. Right. Today's America. I don't want it to be Shabbos. But let's say Monday would be day 8, so he did it Sunday. But it was during the day. I mean, the Rama wants to contrast the day versus night. So that's why he says it was toich shmeina ubiyoyim. You did it before 8 days, within the 8th day, meaning not on the 8th day, but you had it during the day. So therefore, Zakhtar Ramah, that's Yatza. So what does Yatza mean? We'll see this is obviously a big machlokes achrayim, but simply speaking, Yatza means you fulfill the mitzvah of Mila. Nothing else needs to be done to this baby. You're done. The baby's good. Move on. So if b'dieved, a person was off calculating. He's really bad at math, right? And he calculated day 7 instead of day 8. Hoping it never happened. Usually, I guess the Moilam check these things. But let's say that would happen. So after the fact, that according to the Ramah, the baby's Yoitza with the first Mila, he does not have to do any more of this Hatovas Dambis. While if he did the same procedure at night, even on day 8 or day 9, that would be no good, because the Mila Balayla is Lo Yotza. That seems to be the ruling of the Ramah. We mentioned that the Ramah himself tells you, look at what I wrote in Simin Reish Samach Dalet. And in Simin Reish Samach Dalet, it talks about an interesting shayla, which later Achrayim talked about from a practical halachal maisa case. A tinek shehutzrichu lomo toich shmeinu. For some medicinal reason, the baby needs to have the mila before the 8th day. I'm not sure why or where, I'm not sure what the case is, but for medicinal reasons, the baby needed to have the mila before the 8th day. So the question was, should it matter who does the mila? Should you try to find a Jew to do it? Or should you let the guy, your doctor in the hospital do it? So what's the premise of the shayla? Is a mila before day 8 considered a mila or not? If a mila before day 8 is a meaningless procedure, it's not a halachic mila, so who cares who does it? Let the guy do it, let a lady do it, let anyone do it. But if mila before day 8 has a halachic status of a mila on some level, so then you should have to have a Jew do it. So based on the first Ramah that we just read, the Ramah, yeah, we're gonna have to get to that. Yeah, I brought that up for a reason. Yeah, I wanted to stir the pot a little bit. Yeah, we're gonna get to that. What? Sapura, that's the whole discussion, right? That's the whole discussion in the Chumash. We'll have to.
She doesn't have the mitzvah.
Kol she'ed mitzvah, right? We'll have to.
We said, is the mitzvah?
That's right. That's right. We're gonna get to all these types of shahs. Yeah. Right. Right. The pasuk.
There's a mitzvah
to do. There's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah, but there might be a mitzvah being in the sukkah also. Is it a heksha mitzvah? Is it a mitzvah itself? Yeah, these are the things we're going to talk about. Now, the simple reading of the first Ramah that we read would lead one to believe that a mila done before day 8 is a kasher mila. Yotza, you yotza the mitzvah of mila. So the Shach explained, we mentioned this last week, the Shach learned the Ramah that there's a mitzvah and mitzvah min amufcha. When the Torah writes to b'yayim hashmini, it doesn't mean and before though it's not a bris. That's not what the Torah meant. The Torah meant to b'yayim hashmini is the preferred way to do the bris. And if it's done before, it's still accepted, but it's not minam b'vchar. That's the way the Shach understood this first Ramah that we learned. That when the Torah, normally we'll say when the Torah writes Yom HaShemini, that's when to do it. Not before and not even after.
When it says Yom, it means Yom.
But Yom means B'layla, but Shemini is Lav Dafka. That's part of the Kasha on the Shach. But that was the way the Shach learned the Ramah. That when it came to Mila B'Yom, that is Ma'akiv, but Yom HaShemini is only L'chadchila. It's only Mitzvah minam b'vchar. So,
do we have these questions? And I'm missing the whole Havamin, although I was trying to pay attention last week. But do we have these questions on like Sukkot? So it says also what Yom it should be.
Okay.
So if you take the Lulav and Esrog 3 days before.
The best I can find is a Tshuva from the Shagas area where he wants to compare Bris to Pidyon HaBen. He says, 1 second, let's look at another place in the Torah. Pidyon HaBen. The Torah says, when do you do Pidyon HaBen on the 30th day? So you're going to tell me you could be praising the baby on day 25? Of course not. So why is Mila any different? That's the argument he makes.
Well, there's a difference.
We're gonna get to it. Hold off. It's on here. It's on the sheets somewhere. We're gonna hopefully get to it in a second.
If you don't interpret it like this, in terms of bracha, would he did it before?
So that's what we're gonna have to get to today also. Is there a possibility which Achrayim will suggest? There's the Maisa mitzvah and the Kiyama mitzvah, which means you can do an act of a mitzvah on day 5, but the fulfillment of the mitzvah won't take place till day 8.
Right.
That's a possibility in this Ramah.
That's
right. Right. We'll hopefully get to that today as well. Now, if everything we learned in the first Ramah is correct, so if I asked you, according to the Ramah, if a baby needs to have a meal on day 7, who should do it? I'd say, of course I have a Jew do it. Because the Ramah, the Shitasei Paskin, that on day before day 8, you're yotze something. You're not yotze mitzvah and amuchah, but you're yotze. Writes the Ramah number 2 in Reish Samach Dalet. Tinuk shehotzuchu lemoyle toich shmeina b'bnei hasakono. Ein chivuk bein Yisrael l'goy. It doesn't matter who's the moyle. Don't spend the money on a Jewish moyle. Get the doctor to do it in the hospital. Why? The chol toich shmeina loy mikri mila. Any medical procedure done before day 8 is not called the mila. This is a clear stira. This is an open stira in the Ramah. The Ramah even tells you that. He writes at the end. Ayin l'kamon simin Reish Samach Dalet. Look what I wrote over there. Now, this seems to be as clear as can be a contradiction between two pieces of the Ramah, and that's what the Vilna Goyim writes in number 3. Says there a Vilna Goyim, the loy kimay shikasa b'simim reish tamach bay sif alef b'hago. This is clearly not what he wrote earlier. Here, the Ramah seems to be giving off the impression that a meal done before day 8 is a meaningless procedure. It has absolutely no halachic significance. Therefore, let anyone do it. While in halacha, the first in Reish Tamach Beis, the Ramah writes that you are yaitzah. It seems to be a blatant stira. So we'll try today with some ways of being miyashiv this possible stira in the Ramah. The premise to answer the stira in Ramah is really going to take us back to how we learned the first Ramah. We mentioned that the one way to learn the first Ramah is the way the Shach learned. The Shach learned the Ramah that Yotze means you were Yotze one element, you were Yotze the mitzvah, but you weren't Yotze the mitzvah menamuch. The best way to do the mitzvah, what we call the chatchila, is to give a baby the milah on day 8. But if you do it before, you Yotze, you get the check, the baby's gemalt, the baby's not an oral, the baby's allowed to eat truma, but you didn't do it the best way. That's the way the Shach understood the ruling of the Ramah. The problem that the Shach had on the Ramah was, if it's true, so why is milah deicha Shabbos? If it's true that I could technically fulfill the mitzvah, get a check in Shemayim for the mitzvah of Mila, we have a rule, that's really the first Mishnah in the 19th parak that we're going to hopefully get to, that anything that you can do before Shabbos, you have to do before Shabbos. Right? You're not allowed to, the Moyle's not allowed to drive to the Mila on Shabbos, because he can do that before Shabbos. He can stay near the shul, so he doesn't have to travel. He's supposed to bring his bag and his knife and all the things he needs, supposed to be done before Shabbos. Because Kol She'efshel Asayis the Mayor of Shabbos is not Doicha Shabbos. So the Shach, if Mila can technically be done before Shabbos, so why is it ever Doicha Shabbos? Why do you ever have a Shabbos bris? You should never have a Shabbos bris. You should say, like the Ramah, you could do it before Shabbos. If you do it before Shabbos, no reason to be Deicha Shabbos. That's the cash. So that's the Shagasayah's argument. The Shagasayah addresses Jesus 1 second. Why is Mila ever Deicha Shabbos? You can always do Mila after Shabbos. You always Yotze after day 8. There's no question. Kuli Yama Moide. No one disagrees that after day 8 you Yotze the Mila. So Shagasai asks that on the Shach. He says, 1 second. If you're going to go with your logic, so Mila shouldn't be Deicha Shabbos because you could always do it after Shabbos. That's the Shagasai's argument.
You could argue that
so why don't you answer that the reason why Mila is Deicha Shabbos is to get Mitzvah Menah Mufcher? So the Shach says, yeah, the Gemara Menachas. The Gemara Menachas proves that we do not, and we're not Deicha Shabbos for Mitzvah Menah Mufcher. Well, only Deicha Shabbos for the basic check or no check of mitzvah. He's arrived from the Gemara by Ketzir Sa'imer. We talked a little bit about last week. I don't want to get too bogged down, even though the Shagasaya takes big issue with the Shach's Kasha and the Rai from the Gemara. But that's his Rai. He has a Rai from the Gemara that doesn't work. We don't say you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos just to get a mitzvah min amufcha. You're only Mechal Shabbos to get a mitzvah. Not if you already have the mitzvah, not Mechal Shabbos. So therefore, the Shach has a very difficult time understanding this from Mani Pasuk.
It's Chazal, I don't say it. Yeah. Right?
Yep, that's the Joshua.
It's as if the Torah is telling you to do it on Shabbos. You want to have a kasha, well, you can get away. Okay, the Torah says do it on Shabbos. I don't understand the problem.
Right, but the question is maybe the Torah.
Well, the Torah says do on Shabbos, but since theoretically you could be yotzei before the don't.
Right, right. So I guess that matters to kasha on how the rush learned that gemara. Be yemesh min afilu b'shabbos. Right, that's really the kasha. That's part of the kasha. I mean, if we know there's a din afilu b'shabbos, so how does that work with your premise that you could do it before?
No, but they're independent ideas. Meaning, the Torah says do it on Shabbos. This was hypothetical.
Gemara makes a drasha. Gemara says be yemesh min afilu b'shabbos. It's a drasha. That we spoke about. It's a drasha. The Gemara quotes it later on.
It's din d'oraisa, no?
It's not
din d'rabbanan.
No. It's a pasha.
So the Torah is telling you to do it on Shabbos. So yeah, I can come up with a hefi timsa where I could be yotzi not on Shabbos, but the Torah tells you to do it on Shabbos.
All right. So the question is, this is what we need to talk about. When the Torah says v'yamashmini, are we working with chuya and hutras and all these other good? So we talked last week about the shtikol tov from the Yad Avram on his commentary to Shulchan Aruch about whether or not we're saying asidei chaloisa says over here. I'll have to see.
Nothing. The Torah is saying Shabbos with regards to mila.
Shabbos is
not
right. So the question, right, but the question that one can ask is, but why? If you're right and you agree that you could do it earlier, so why is it Shabbos? I mean, the assumption that Shabbos is a doicha, not because b'yamashmini doesn't mean that the mother can drive also, right? Whatever needs to be done. So the question is, if this meal can technically be done earlier,
but then why would then you're throwing out the whole drush?
Right, I think what you're asking is really a deeper question. Meaning, according to the Rush, has he learned the drush of b'yamashmini and Shabbos? Right. I think what we say calls are awesome. Right? It's all included in the kasha.
But maybe it means that you can't. There's a reason why you can't do the mila before, because the baby's not well enough.
Right.
But by the eighth day, he is well enough. Right. You have to do it on the eighth day, even if it's Shabbos.
Right.
You can't let the eighth day pass
right.
with the child not having had a mila.
Right.
Which is why you can't wait till the ninth day, because you want to be docha Shabbos, right? But that
right.
doesn't mean you can't do it earlier. As long as the eighth day comes and you're already established
okay.
Mila.
Okay, yeah, that's what we're going to see in Achronim. You're suggesting that B'yom HaShemini means that on the eighth day, this kid
have to be
Gemalt.
Right.
That's a pshat in Achronim already. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're going to get to that today also. The assumption would have been B'yom HaShemini is the tzivoy of when to do the Mila. You're suggesting, which Achronim definitely did suggest, B'yom HaShemini means it's the end result. Comes B'yom HaShemini, you have to not have an Orla.
Because we're saying all
the that's only to explain this Shita. Right. Okay. Well, that's what we're gonna get to. Because there's a couple of psukim. There's one pasuk of Yemesh Mini Yimol. There's another pasuk of have you know Himo Yimol just be gemalt. So that we'll talk about both those psukim. So the Shach Gesaria in Siman Nun Beis disagrees adamantly on the Shach's ruling of the Ramah. The Shach Shach Gesaria only lived about 100 years later than the Shach. He has the right to argue, and he writes in number 4. It's a rather long piece. It's in Siman Nun Beis. He writes like this: number 4. The cholheicha shemol kain zman lekayim klal mitzvus mila. Says Shagasai, I disagree. There's nothing doing. If you give a baby a bris on day 7, it's meaningless. Nothing. Like you cut it off. The ein la malom of loyshach etzlei mitzvus mila klal. Shagasai says no. If you give a baby a bris on day 7, and now you want to do a toughest on bris, it's too late. It's gone. There's nothing more to cut. It's too late. You lost all kima mitzvah. Even the chotach as a orlo kain zman even the orlo bizmanoi. He has no. He no longer has an arlo. You cut it off. Therefore, loyshayich etzli mi the klal. Va'afilu im yitav dam bris b'yoyim aches. Even if let's say you'll do a tovas dam bris on day 8, b'zeh loy also klum. It's useless. Kiven the kran nechtecha arlosa. Since you already cut the arlo, koydim zman mitzvahs before the time of the mitzvah. V'im kain. Now we mentioned last week that the stipler had the kasha. Why is this so? The Ramah himself said if the baby gets a mila belayla, you can do a tovas dam bris. Even though the same piece of oil is removed. So clearly the Ramah is open to the idea that even if the skin is actually gone, there's still a concept called a tavas dam bris. So why when it's done b'yoyim, all of a sudden, that's it, too late? No oil there. There's no oil when you do the bris at night either. Now, that was a stipulous cash. Says the Shagasaya, lefihim, it's very gishmak. So you never have a kash. Oh, do the bris on Friday. You can't do the bris on Friday. If you do the bris on Friday, it's the worst thing you can do. Why? Because according to the Shagasaya, if you do the bris on Friday, not only not yoyts on Friday, you can't even fix it up on Shabbos. Because once you did an improper bris the first time, you can't even do a tavas dam bris. You're stuck, lost forever. That's the Shach Gesaria's ruling. So therefore, according to the Shach Gesaria, so let's go back. So when the Ramah writes, Malu Tech Shmein Ubiyoim Yotza, what does that mean? So according to the Shach, it meant you yotze the basic, but not yotze min hamufcha. According to him, it's not you're not yotze anything. It just means there's nothing you can do. I mean, it basically means you're stuck.
But in our world, he's not.
Stuck to Shagasaria. In the next piece, the kiman the hachihu the davar borer have the imol koydim zman elav klumi al korcha chad the kasev a rosh b'shem a rash b'paragov as the mila that the rosh, which is all the Ramah's quoting. This Ramah is a rosh in Rebbe Loz the mila quoting Rabbeinu Shimshin, who says b'molu b'teich zmane in tzorich latim b'dam bris b'zmanei lam b'shem to be the evet shabadami. When the rosh says you don't have to do a tavas dam bris, it's not because you don't need to do a tavas dam bris because you yaitz the mitzvah the way the Ramah learned it. When the Rosh wrote, if you do a bris on day 7, you don't need a tov dam bris. So the Ramah learned that to mean because you're yoitze. So the Shagazan, you know why you don't do it? Because it's meaningless and useless. It's too late. It's a mistake that can never be fixed. So therefore, so according to the Shach learned, and this is the words of the Ramah, right? The words of the Ramah do not fit according to the Shagazan. It says yotze. You're not yoitze anything according to the Shagazan. You're not yotze anything. You're yotze nothing. You're not, the kid's not gemalt. Maybe you can argue, which we'll see later on, maybe yotze means you fulfill the obligation to need to do a milah because he's not in the parish of milah. But I wouldn't call that yotze mitzvah milah. Bishlom, according to the Shach, yotze is beautiful. You fulfill the basic responsibility of the mitzvah milah. But according to the Shach, you're not yotze. Just that you don't do a tavas dam bris because it's not going to accomplish anything. It's like poking the kid in the toe. You're not going to get any credit for it.
No, but in light of...
So that's the question. So that's what the maybe if it's Neulad Mohol or Gershon is Gaia Mohol. There are cases that
we do have.
Right. So that was...
Balayla.
So the Shagasai holds Balayla is the same thing.
That's not...
No, the Ramah says Balayla, you are doing a Tavas Dambris. But that's the Kasha. That's the Kasha. That was the type of Kasha. Why is Biyoyim different than Balayla for a Tavas Dambris? If you hold that once you do an improper Mila, the Earl is gone and everything is done, so how can you do a Tavas Dambris but Balayla? That's the type of Kasha.
He's open to a Tavas Dambris in certain...
The Ramah is. The Ramah himself is open.
No, but even the Shagasai, he's open to it.
Yeah, he's got to be. There's Gemaras like that.
I understand. So
this is the type of Kasha. The type of...
Why?
Why would you have
Well, once the oil is gone, he knocks you out. The way the Shagasari sounds like is once a person loses that skin, whether it was ripped off or improperly taken off, so the question is, what do you do with mohol? What do you do with gear? All these things.
Gear, I can understand, because gear, maybe a
didn't have a shame oral. So that's what we need to talk a little bit more today, is what does it mean to have the shame oral, or lose the shame oral, or have the shame oral? We'll try to talk about that a little bit more. Now, we mentioned the stipler in Siman Beis. He takes very big issue with the Shagasai. Well, when exactly? And he has Gedarim. And some of this we'll see later on Gemaras, but hopefully. When exactly is the Tavas Dambris an option, when is it not an option? But the Shagasai, what we need is how the Shagasai read the Ramah. He read the Ramah very differently than we would read the Ramah. His yotz is not that you fulfilled anything. You got no credit. This baby's not Gemalt, but he doesn't need anything because he's not Shaykh to have anything done to him.
In light of Simrei Samuel Dunn, it makes a lot of sense. The Rabbi says it's nothing. So Yotze and Rishon of can't mean that Yotze
the Mitzvah. Exactly. The Fizeh, Taka answers up the Stira. That's the beauty of the Shagasari's Pshat. Meaning, you're not Yotze anything. It's a meaningless procedure. This is not a Maisa Mila whatsoever.
Because it's not necessary anymore.
No, because you can't do anything there. So therefore, that's Pshat and Reish Samach Dalet. When the Ramah and Reish Samach Dalet, we don't care who does it, because once it's going to be done on day 7, it's over. It's a Mu'uvah Sheni Yuchel Asakin. It's a meaningless procedure that gets you nowhere. So let anyone do it. Who cares who does it? Either I'm over here, or I'm over here. Never said you ate to the Mila. The Ramah just meant you don't need to do a Tavas Dambris afterwards. That's still correct. So if you're willing to be open-minded with the word Yotza in the Ramah, and read it like the Shagasaya, then it answers up the steel in the two Ramahs. Yeah, it's very.
Was he saying? When you're thinking about doing something, I'm telling you it's no good. Oh, you use the guy.
I mean, he's saying the Ramah is saying that if you're gonna do a mila before 7, because before 8, because you have no choice.
Why did you say you don't do it?
No, they need to. They need to do it for medicinal reasons.
So the question was:
is there any significance of having a Jew do it? Meaning, is there any mitzvah here? The Ramah says no mitzvah. What do you mean? He just told me there is a mitzvah. It's according to Shagasai. The Ramah never told you there's a mitzvah. All the Ramah said is you don't have to do a tavas dambris. That's all he told you. Why is there no tavas dambris? So the Shach learned that's because you were yaitz the mitzvah. Says no, Shagasai. There's no tavas dambris because it's too late. It's irreversible. So then the Fizeh, the two Ramahs actually are very nice. If you're willing to again be open minded with the word yotza and learn like the Shagasai, I think it answers up the steam in the Ramah. That's one mahalach to answer up the steam in the Ramah. I'm not sure. We'll have to talk more about it. Is he still cold in oral? If he can't, we'll get to that a little later today.
How is he cold in oral?
We'll see if he sells a shame oral or not. If this is considered having an oral and not being removed properly, or not having an oral, doesn't have it.
According to the Shagasaria, somebody who is, say,
became a Baal Tshuva as an adult, and you know, his parents, they had a pediatrician.
Right.
So he'll never.
So the argument is to talk about cases of Nolud Mol, we have to talk a lot about. Because Nolud Mol, you do have toughest numbers. So the question is, what's Pshat by Nolud Mol? Is the Pshat because we think there might have been Arla there that we missed it? There's a lot of more details that we need to get to all the various levels. There's a lot of different cases and scenarios of where toughest numbers is an option. We'll have to wait and see which case fits which criteria to see how it works. But for now, the Shagasari is saying that Toi Ches, no option of a Tavaz Dambris, you're stuck, it's a Mu'uvish Eni Yuchel Asak. And therefore,
the status of the child,
I guess, would be, I'm not sure if he's allowed to eat Chuma. Yeah, not the Gabe's one, but I'm not sure if he has a Shem Oral or not. I mean, normally we assume if a person doesn't have a meal, he has a Shem Oral, he can't eat Karm Pesach, can't eat Chuma. Other things, he can't marry. What was the other one? Karm Pesach, Chuma is another one. I think those are the two ones. I'm not. Right. Again, Bezman is not going to negate it too much, but it would be negate to eating Truma and being a Karban Pesach. Now, what's interesting, this Shagasariah, the Shagasariah was a rabbi. He was a shul rabbi.
Is he subject to
Karis? No, not if he can't do it. He's not able to do it. It's not Shaykh, it's not his fault. It's impossible for him to do anything. So the Shagasariah was actually asked to Shaila like this. Shagasariah wrote it as, Shagasariah was a rabbi. He didn't get along with his shul, so he only showed up 4 times a year. Try doing that today, see how that works out. Got a salary. For many, that was the precedent sent by the Shagasaya. The Shagasaya got in a disagreement with this kehillah. He had a big shul. He had a big kehillah. And he got in a disagreement with them about something, how they think it was about how they did akdomas and shavuos or something. And they didn't listen to him. And he didn't like it. So he stopped coming. He only showed up 4 times a year to give drushes 4 times a year. I think he still got a salary as far as I know. So he was a rabbi. So he wrote Shalas and Shuvas. So in Shagasaya, we use Shagasaya today for lomdas. But he wrote this halacha l'maisa. So this piece of Shagasaya was a real shaila. Someone sent him, mamash the case of the Rama. Someone sent him that the baby is sick and it needs to have a meal before day 8. Who should be the mile? So he goes through the Rama and he goes through the Shach and goes through everything we said. And at the end of the piece, he concludes. He thinks that the Shach is wrong. He thinks that halacha l'maisa, the baby is not gemalt, the meal teiches is nothing, and let anyone do it. And that's where he ends off the tshuva, halacha l'maisa. He passes that that's what should be done. So this was a real story that happened sometimes in the mid-1700s. In the middle of that long tshuva, where he's just, it's funny, he gets sidetracked with the shach, and he says, okay, let's get back to halacha l'maisa. So there's long pages and pages and pages, all purple, and then all of a sudden he says, after I dealt with the shach's kasha, he says, okay, let's get back to halacha l'maisa. Then he writes a short, a little bit of what's halacha l'maisa for the person.
The whole question about a medical emergency, so whoever's most qualified medically to do it,
should
do it.
I would assume.
It's not talking about doing the
mitzvah. I guess he's arguing that I guess all bets are equal and you can get a Jew do it. Is there any mile to have a Jew do it? Again, I'm not sure what the case is that a baby needs to have a meal because it's a kana before 8. I'm not sure the medical reasoning behind it.
Could you turn the question around that the mile could only do it on day 7? And the shas, he's going to guest chamber tomorrow. So all the babies got to do it.
Yeah, I guess it'll be the same shayla.
So otherwise there'll be no brisim tomorrow because he's...
I would assume it's the same type of shayla, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be the same shayla. Is there any credit given to a mila teiches? To which if you read Ramon Shachar, you say, of course there is. If you read the Shagasai, you say, of course there's not. So the Shagasai, in the middle of that tshuva, before he gets to the answer, so he says, I have a raya. He says, look at the Torah. Where else does the Torah give you a time-sensitive mitzvah? So the Shagasai, Pidin HaBen. It says in the Torah, you do Pidin HaBen, B'yem Shloishim. So therefore, it says the Shagasai, number 5, Hachanami. The Shagasari is going back to the old school of thinking that what? If the Torah gives you a day, it means don't do it earlier. This is really a fundamental hakira. When the Torah says day 8, is that day lachatchila? That's day. What? So we know later you can do it, so why not earlier, right? It should be the same argument. Now, when we saw the Gemara need the last week, we kind of said to ourselves, you know, the whole day 8 is not really any major reason. The whole day 8 was just so the parents are not depressed because they're not allowed to you know, be together. And that sounds like a pretty watered down reason, especially today where it's not even a gear because the Tumah extends beyond day 8. But nonetheless, when the Torah writes these words, what does that mean? So therefore, says the Shagasariah, let's look somewhere else in the Torah by Pidgin HaBen.
Same mitzvah, the day later?
It's not mitzvah menamuvcha. It's the same, according to the Shach, day 7, day 9 are the same.
Right.
Which is pretty amazing, because no one assumes that. Right? No one assumes like that. Everyone assumes only day 9 is, you know, is I couldn't do it day 8, the baby was sick, I had nothing I could do. You're not getting the credit of the Yemeshmini anymore, because it's not Yemeshmini. So, according to, and this is one of the Shagasayah's kashas, it should come out, according to the Shach, having a meal on day 7, having a meal on day 9 are at the exact same level. And that, no one thinks of like that. You know, people, no one does a bris on day 7, but day 9 is quite commonly done. Especially if it's a Shabbos, Ben Hashmash's case, we'll get to that a little later. If a baby's not a Ben Hashmash on Friday, so the bris is going to be on Yom Shmi, on Yom right? C-section, all these other cases, plenty of times milos are done on day 9. They're not done on day 8. But day 7, that we very rarely heard. Right, so then we do it later. Now, again, usually there's no reason to do it earlier, because why wait? But according to the Shach, if the evidence would happen, that would be the din. So the Shach says, let's look in the Torah. Open the Torah. Where else does the Torah give you a time to do a mitzvah? Pinyon HaBen. It says Pinyon HaBen is done on the 30th day. So therefore, says the Shach HaSayyuk, I mean, I'll give you Pinyon HaBen. He says, by Pidyon HaBen, you have an option. If you botch that one up, you did it too early, so you can always give the money and do the procedure again. Over here, if you do it wrong, you're done. Too late. And these people hold the Tavas Dambris is not an option. So therefore, the Shagasai is attempting to prove that you can't do Mila Toich Shmoine from Pinyin HaBen. The cash on that is, it's a very faulty comparison. The reason why you can't do Pinyin HaBen Toich Shloshim is because you have to make sure the baby's not an Eifel. It's a technical problem. The whole din of pigeon is you have to redeem a baby that's going to live, a live baby that has a chance to live. We will not know that until we hit day 30. So to be paid a baby on day 28, there's a fundamental difference why you can't do that. It's because we have no idea that this baby is going to survive. A baby that's not going to survive is not obligated in Pidyon HaBen. However, a baby on day 7, l'chari, you don't have that type of comparison. Now, you could argue the Shach HaSayyuk's case. Let's say the father does the whole Pidyon HaBen on day 25, and then the baby lives to day 31. The baby lives. Day 31, the baby's still alive. Could you start talking l'mafreya type of talk? So then you can argue, so why don't you say l'mafreya? Once I know that the baby survived day 30, the baby's not an Eifel, so l'mafreya, it should be able to be chal. So that's a discussion. Maybe you can go that far. But the actual premise of the Shach HaSayyuk to compare a Pidyon HaBen to a Bismillah, Acharenim point out, seems to be a faulty comparison, as that it seems to be hard to believe that the reason why you wait for 30 is not for halachic reasons, it's just for medical reasons. Today you have to make sure the baby is no longer an Eifel. What is interesting about Pidyon HaBen is that Ashkenazim don't do Pidyon HaBen Belayla. Interesting thing. Shulchan Aruch writes before is to do Pidyon HaBen Belayla. Svarim do Pidyon HaBen Belayla. Ashkenazim don't do Pidyon HaBen at night. The Shach quotes it as a minig Ashkenaz. It's an interesting minig. No one really knows why. Not much literature has been written. Why don't you do Pidyon HaBen at night? But Maisa, that's the Ashkenaz custom. I had a case where someone wanted to do a Pidyon HaBen Belayla for financial reasons. His parents would have paid for the Pidyon HaBen if it was done Belayla, but they wouldn't have paid for it if it was done Biyin. Real story. Real story. Ashkenazim. That's to be smart. I wouldn't have a problem. They could do Belayla. And it was the way it worked out, it was Sunday, and the parents wanted to make the Pidyon HaBen Sunday night, which was the night we really wait till the next day. Ashkenazim would have done it on Monday morning. Sfaradim would have done it on Sunday night. And the parents would only pay for it Sunday night. And the couple was strapped for money.
He's got bigger problems than that.
Yeah, yeah. He's strapped for money. And there was other cheshbainists. They thought that more people would come if it's Sunday night versus Monday, which is one of the reasons the Shach writes, we don't do Pidyon HaBen Belayla. We want to have a bigger showing. So I thought if that's one of the reasons, so Hepech over here, yeah, there might be more to make up. Well, I said we were make up with him, and we allowed the Pidyon HaBen to be done Belayla based on other these types of cheshbainists. But normally... Right. So the problem was, so I spoke to a certain Pesach, he told me, well, it depends where the person's from. For example, this Pesach told me in Lakewood, never would this go in Lakewood. The meaning in Lakewood is we don't do any Pidyon HaBen Belayla, nothing, unless it's before a fast day, whatever. No, other than that, we never do it. He told me, where's the person from? He's from New Jersey. He said, well, I don't know what the meaning of New Jersey is. He said, I don't even know what the meaning of New Jersey is.
Lakewood's not
I guess Tina, it was a Bergenfield, Tina, one of those communities. So he told me, this Pesach was very, he told me, call up the rabbi of this town and ask the rabbi, what's the meaning of the town? So I called him, the rabbi, he told me, we don't really have a meaning in this town, you know. These shayles don't come up all that often. So I said, we did the Mila. We did the Pidyon HaBen Belayla. I told him, I said, please remind, when your son gets older, please remind him, explain to him that his Pidyon HaBen was done Belayla because it was a Shas Adchak, it was a Rasha. I don't want this kid growing up thinking, oh, my Pidyon HaBen. We always know about our own lives. Well, if my Chasana took place in this way, it must have been, it was Mutter. I don't want the kid thinking that Pidyon HaBen is allowed to be done Belayla. I want him to realize that it was a Harasha for that specific time. But in any case, Pidyon HaBen is different than Mila. But Lamaisa, that was the Shach HaSayyuk's argument. Okay.
And why are they focusing on Pidyon HaBen as the other?
Because that's another
Torah that has a day. There are other mitzvahs in the Torah that have.
Not when the Torah gives a number. The other mitzvahs of the Torah give a specific date on the calendar. There's no calendar date here. It's 30 days. Again, Shmini is a number. It's not a date on the calendar. Yom Tovim are dates. Keep Yom Tov on Tezvav. You know.
What
Shavuos.
So philosophically, what's the difference?
Because the Torah is giving you a more specific time to do it. Here, when the question is 30, does that, the argument could be, is 30 less vague than saying a specific time? Now, obviously, the Torah couldn't write a specific time for Milah because it depends when the baby's born. You know, you can't write a specific time in the calendar because it's right. Subjective. It's subject to the baby's birth. But that's the argument. So you're assuming that it shouldn't matter. And the Torah writes 8, it's as if the Torah would have wrote, you know, Tezvav Tishrei, which is Sukkis, and then no one debates making Sukkis earlier. That
because the 8 days is always day's day, but depending on the fear of the Archa, when you accept the Adam, it's the Yantav fall out on a different day.
Yeah, but Tezvav is not going to change.
It's not necessarily the 15th day.
That's the famous tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe takes issue with Rav Shlomo Kluger's argument about what's considered Mitzvah Shas Magromos. So Rav Moshe has an argument that maybe all Yom Tovim really don't have to be Mitzvah Shas Magromos. They could have been done any specific time. Because Baruch Hu chose to celebrate these Yom Tovim on these specific times. Maybe that's not Zman Groma. That was Rav Shlomo Kluger's argument about Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana is not considered Zman Groma because I would love to be in Kiddush Levana all the time. With the Ramban? By Tzvi Yisoymer.
Yeah.
By the Noshim and Tzvi Yisoymer. Right. That's where it comes in again to Miyashim the Ramban Shita, to which Rav Salavitchik thought was a printing mistake. Right. That famous Ramban that so much Torah is said on. But that's the argument. Yeah, we definitely spoke about it here a couple of times. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk another Mahalach, possibly to be Mazbe the Ramah. Is there another way to learn the Ramah? So the Stipler, in his Sefer Kehilas Yankiv on Masechet Shabbos, he brings down a pshat from the Sefer Emek Yeshua. It's a very interesting lomdish way to answer up this Ramah. And he writes like this. Mavur, the Bahayulay Arlo v'nitlo shaloi kedina, ikka mitzvah hatavas dambris. If a person had an Arlo, it was born regular with an Arlo, and then it was removed improperly, whether it be at night or through a goy, let's say, but it was removed. The kid now has no arlo. So then, mitzvah satavas dambris. Then he has a mitzvah satavas dambris. Ubishaloi hayulai arlo me oilom. This baby never had an arlo. Let's say, classic, he was born ready with a milo, without an arlo. So then, loi chal nami din atavas dambris. Then there's no obligation to do atavas dambris. Vihine biyavam is reish perk arlo. Boy yagamar bimilo shloi bezmanoi. Imakvasi bitruma. A baby, a milo that was done. Toich shmeine, does it ma'akev from eating truma kedin oral? Right? What's the status of a baby that was gemaled before day 8? Is he considered an oral? V'lo yifshuto, the Gemara doesn't answer. U'b'teis v'shem kas b'shem Yerushalmi, the orlo shloi b'zmanoi eino ma'kvos v'milach b'truma. An orlo shloi b'zmanoi does not stop him from eating truma v'chem p'yash ram. V'im kein argues the Emek Yeshua, me'hai taima, the neilad mol ain't tzarach atavaz dam bris. Why if a baby is born already with a mila, he doesn't atavaz dam bris? The fishaloi hoyolo orlo me'elam. He never had a shame orla. Hatavas dambris is for someone that had an orla, and then it was not properly removed. Then he needs a tavas dambris. Hachenami nimo b'toiches says the Emek Yeshua. If a baby had a meal during 8, ain't tzarach atavaz dambris. Why? The gamze lo hayula orla me'elam. He never really had an orla. He was removed. He never had an orla. I don't care why it was removed, but it was removed. Not like the Shagasayu said, you can't do a Tavas Dambris. He's saying you don't need a Tavas Dambris. Why? Because he was never an Arla. An Arla is someone that was born with something that needed to be cut and came day 8 and needed to be removed. He doesn't have it. When day 8 came, this kid didn't have an Arla. So therefore argues the Emek Yeshua, we define by day 8. When day 8 comes, did this baby have an Arla? The answer is no, because it was removed on day 7. By improper
means.
Okay, good. So according to this pshat, what's the lumdus? The lumdus over here is there's no chiv atavas dambris because the chiv atavas dambris is someone that had a shame arla. He has no shame arla. Came day 8, this baby had no shame arla. It was removed. The arla was removed. So if the arla was removed, he's not an arol. So therefore, argue with Emek Yeshua. Therefore, there is no obligation to do mila. What about Belaila? Last line. Avomol achar shmoina Belaila. But if the baby got the bris on day 8 the night, again, let's say today was day 8. So day 8 comes, the baby has an arla. The baby's an arla. Gotta have the bris. Then the father waits till tonight and does it. In that case, the baby had a chiyuv mila, which was done improper, then you do a tavas dam bris. Mashenki, when the baby had it removed before deches, when deches comes, the baby had no arla. Nothing there. Therefore, you don't need a tavas dam bris because there's no chiyuv tavas dam bris when there's no shame arla. That's the argument that he makes.
What about Shabbos? So we can be makabel Shabbos earlier, right? It says Yom HaShvi. Right?
Yes.
So it's not Tesvav, it's not Yudav.
Correct.
It's the same thing
correct
as Yom HaShmini, right?
Correct.
So do we get a mitzvah for being we make Kiddush at 6 o'clock on.
So that's a big
shaila. I know it's there's not everything.
Yeah, so we this is a big shaila.
Taisvish any different than doing a bris early.
So that's why it's probably a machlokes rishonim between two taisvis about whether or not when you mekabel Shabbos early, can you actually fulfill the mitzvahs of Shabbos? It's very possible that when a person makes Shabbos early, all he really is doing is asering on himself malach.
How do you say kiddush?
So that's the kasha. So how's the person allowed to make kiddush early? So it's a good question. That's a simple answer. It's a good question. The Mishnah Berurah taka paskins lahalach. If a person makes early Shabbos, this negates this time of the year. If a person makes early Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah paskins, he should try to make sure to eat a kazayas of bread after the real shkia to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins. It's a good question. I think we talked about this once when we talked about making early Shavuos. This shaila comes up. There seems to be a stira in two taisvus, between a taisvus and ksubis and a taisvus and psachim, is what happens when you make early Shabbos? Do you actually change the date on the calendar? Well, no, you can't change the date on the calendar. Shabbos is Shabbos. But what you can do is you can decide to asur upon yourself and treat it like Shabbos. That's your prerogative.
So that's refraining from things that you can do on Tuesday.
That's correct.
But I'm talking about the positive mitzvah.
So that's the argument. What about the positive mitzvah? So this is one of the reasons why there are those that argue you can't make early Shavuos. Since Shavuos is a date 50, you got to make sure you get there. Right. You can't start it earlier. You can't have any practical halachas before that day because it's bound by the time. That's a good question. It is definitely a good question of how Taisvus Shabbos works in Lomdus, that you can actually do mitzvahs. How can you do Kiddush? Kiddush Hayem is a mitzvah deraisa.
So the comparison to Bris. Eating a kazayas after Shkia would be like Tiba Saddam, right?
Right. I mean that you really do the full mitzvah. Right. Again, I don't know how many people are makbid. If a person makes real early Shabbos, it can really be. Someone once told me he stays up just to be yaitzeh this Mishnah Berurah. He'd rather be sleep. He stays up to get shkia. Is not so late. Not so late. After 8:30, 8:20, it's getting earlier now. We maxed out about the shkia, but it's getting a little earlier now. Should be getting earlier. But that's what Mishnah Berurah writes. Now the clash of the Mishnah Berurah is that the Mishnah Berurah himself writes that to be yaitzeh Suda Shabbos, he's supposed to eat a kebeya, not a kazayas. A kebeya is about double a kazayas. So the Achrayim of Akasha, why does Mr. Berurah say only need a kazayas? That's yes. The answer is really he's samech on the other taisvus. And really taisvus Shabbos is okay. But also chumra, he tells you just eat something. So it's enough to eat a kazayas.
Some people
wait to eat tzeis. Okay. I think he says, I don't remember if he says after shkia. Maybe he says after tzeis. I don't remember now. Maybe Taka says you have to wait till tzeis, which is definitely later. This time of the year, it's closer to 9:30, 9:20. I don't remember now. I don't remember.
Things are oriented the other way because the only way you're allowed to do this is because there's such a thing as such.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So that's the question. This is a chumra ba'alma that you have to wait. Maybe mikra did it, so you can bring in the day earlier. This is negeya to a lot of areas. This is negeya. But what exactly is the lomdus of Tosfos Shabbos? Is it that you can actually change the calendar? Sure, you can't change the calendar. This is negeya to a lady. A lady needs to do a bedika. She needs to do a hefsek tahara, and she makes early Shabbos. So she's mekabel Shabbos, but the sun's still up. So can she still do her bedikas? So that's the machlokes between the shach and his father. To get a lot of geshmak shailas. Someone just asked me on Friday an interesting Tosfos Shabbos shaila. Once we're on the topic, he wants to make early Shabbos, but his wife wants to use the extra time. So he makes Shabbos at 7 o'clock. And he davens, let's say, for example, he davens at plak. So he'll say Mizmor Shir, which is Kabbalah Shabbos, he'll say it at 7:10. 7:10, his wife is still getting ready for Shabbos. So he comes home at 7:30. His wife says, oh, you're home, so great. I'll go light the candles now, and I'll do everything. So that's a big shiloh, if that's permitted. So that's not pashit. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva. Rav Moshe holds its mutter. Rav Moshe holds its mutter. Rav Moshe has a chiddush and a tshuva. Nigus Moshe, Kedai tshuva, look up. It's an Igus Moshe or a Chaim Chel Gimel Samalamat Ches. Rav Moshe comes up with this novel chiddush that if you're being mekabel Shabbos early, not for Jewish reasons, not because you love Shabbos and you want kedusha Shabbos and you want to make sure you don't do malach on Shabbos, it's convenient. You don't want to eat supper at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. So Rav Moshe passes if that's why you're making Shabbos, so then the wife is not bound by you. You do what you want. Your wife does what she wants. Everything is fine. However, Rav Moshe has one.
Stop
there.
We're good.
Okay. I'd come to say Moshe.
However, it's very
Moshe has a line over in the tshuva. He's masubik about lighting candles. He wants to argue that if the wife would light candles, she's doing malacha for you. And he has a shtickle teru that when a wife is not like Amir Lanochi, which is Mutter ben Hashmoshes, as it did like an Evet Kanani, which they can't do malacha on your behalf. That's what Moshe's cheshbin. So according to Moshe, lighting the candles might be controversial. If she wants to take a shower, she wants to put on her makeup, whatever else she wants to do, according to Moshe, that's fine.
That's when they announced the early minyan.
That's right. That's correct. That's correct. That's right. They have to really, really preferably, husband and wife should be on the same schedule. It's the other way that people confuse. If a wife lights candles, the rest of the family do not have to follow the wife's halakha's neighbors. So if a wife wants to light candles, the rest of the kids are not bound by that time. But that's an interesting shout-out. That's where Moshe discusses this. Okay, I won't say what the minigoyim is, but okay, in any case, that's what Moshe, listen, Moshe doesn't need my endorsement, but that's what Moshe writes in the truth. Adkan, that's what Moshe writes. Okay, so back to this sugya over here. So if you go like this, shtikl teira of the Emek Yeshua, so then it answers up Pshan Ramah. The Pshan Ramah then is that once the kid is no longer an RO, so there's no mitzvah to do anything. But again, you have the same problem in how to read the Ramah. What's Yotzah? You're not Yotzah anything. It's just that you don't have a Chiyuv Mila. That doesn't make you Yotzah. So L'chayru, again, you have the same Matche Loshen in the Ramah. That when the Ramah says Yotzah, you're not really Yotzah. You're not Yotzah anything. Because according to the Ramah, there's just no mitzvah. The other problem is, let's go back to the Ramah. How do we learn that Ramah of Ovar Umol Belayla? Which night? So we thought it could be night 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The Emek Yeshua threw a line over here. It's night of day 8.
Right, because why should that be any better than day before?
Because maybe night is different than day, and therefore a meal
dumbbell. Maybe it's going to be worse.
No, but we know night and day are different. So once
so
I know night...
Night before day 8, they have two problems.
Nechrami. I mean, my argument is when you read this Ramah, Avar Umol Belayla, which night are we talking about? Is it night 1, night 2, night 3, night 4, night 7? Night 8? I don't know. So the Emek Yeshua assumed it meant night 8. Which means that Pshan the Ramah is, the reason why you have to do a Tavazan Bris, because it already hit day 8. Day 8 it had an Oral. He now has a Chiyuv to remove it. That's why you do a Tavazan Bris. I could have learned the Ramah. I'm not saying it's not. That Avar Umol Belayla means day 1, day 2, 3, any one of those nights. Then the baby yet didn't have an oral. So if the baby yet doesn't have a shame oral law, so then it should be the same thing as doing Tashkir and Ches. So it's not clear to me how to learn the Ramah. If necessarily the Ramah has to be talking about the exact same case as he set it up over there.
And the Ramah is saying you have to do a deep astam. What's the problem with the Ramah?
My question is when the Ramah talks about a case of Mila Belayla, what's the case? What night? It's done at night. What day?
And what do you do the next day?
You have to do a Tavas Dambris.
Right.
Now, according to the way the Emek Yeshua learns, it meant it was the night after day 8.
Right.
Which means the baby already had an oral, because it was day 8. Mm-hmm. It wasn't cut. And then you cut it improperly, because it was at night. Any improper cutting requires a Tavas Dambris. But if the baby gets a bris on day 7, it didn't yet have a shame oral. So therefore, you don't need to do a Tavas Dambris.
And then what if he did it on day 12? What's the difference between day 12 and the night of day 8, which is after the 8th day?
Because it's night. Night
but
is bad.
That's the ninth day, though.
Right, so that's what we
it's
still didn't.
Night.
We haven't yet talked about why is night so much more significant.
What's the Hava meaning that it could be
something wrong with night?
Night is out. The way they say it is night is out of the realm of Mila completely. Now the question is why is it any more out than Shemini Veloy Shvi? But that okay. Why?
Because if you do it on the seventh night, if you do it on the night of the eighth day, right?
After day 8 or before day 8?
No, today is the 8th day.
And you do it tonight?
And you do it last night. So
okay.
It's the 8th day, right? If it was Yontif, it would have started, right?
Right, so that would not count for Mila. You'd have to do a Tovas Dambris.
Right, but that makes sense because it's a continuum, right? It's part of the same day. And even if it was the 5th day, it was
okay
at night. It was part of getting you to the 8th day to have the complete status of being Gemal. Right?
Okay.
So you did it in two parts. But once you do it on the 8th night, which is already the 9th day,
right?
What's the Havamina that, I mean, it's a completely different situation.
No, but the problem is there's something significantly wrong with doing a Mila at night. Night is bad. We don't know why yet, because it says Natar
B'yayim. Right, okay, fine.
So then it shouldn't matter.
But why should there be a Havamina that if night is no good, the night of the 8th day should be the same as the night of the 9th day?
Because it's at least past 8.
Yeah.
I mean, before 8...
Being past 8 is worse.
It is worse because you already had a shame arla. And once you already had a shame arla, if it's removed improperly, it needs a tavas dambris. So I'm just arguing when you read this Ramah, Avar Umol Belayla, so again, the Emek Yeshua is just saying it means the night of the 8th.
But once you miss the 8th day, it's seis, right? So there's no question about it, the 9th day.
That's right.
Why is the halachically any different than if we're talking about the 12th day?
It would not
where you wouldn't have a tifas
dambris. It wouldn't be. No, you would. You wouldn't need. You would. If you were to give a baby on day 12 at night, you'd also have to...
No, what about 12 during the day? Why is there a difference?
Because it's
why does night become a chasara after the 8th day?
It doesn't. Night becomes a chasara, I think, all the time.
Anytime.
Except if you learn, like the Emek Yeshua, if he did night before day 8, so the baby never had a shame arla. So therefore, if it never had a shame arla, then you wouldn't have to do anything.
I think opposite, but I'm Yeah. Before the eighth day at night might possibly still be good because he didn't pass the eighth day.
It's better.
Right, but once he passed
the
eighth
day. Again, that's the whole chip. The whole chiddush of the Emek Yeshua is before eight, there's no chi of meal yet. That's why it's better. Now, if you accept the Emek Yeshua, we can answer up the Stephen Rama also. Why? Because it's not avada. The Ramon never said you yoitz the mitzvah. He just held that if you had it before day eight, it never had a shame arlo. If it never had a shame arlo, it doesn't need to be removed. So if it doesn't need to be removed, you don't need that tapas dam bris. But never did the Ramon mean you yoitz the mitzvah. If that's true, so that's not a steam Ramon anymore. When the Ramon wrote in Reish Samach Dalet, there is no kima mitzvah. There's no kima mitzvah. All that yotza means is like the shagasaya. It means you don't have to do it, not because you yoitz the mitzvah, but there's just no chiyuv in the first place. So according to both pshatim of the shagasaya and the Emek Yeshua, it answers up the steam Ramon. Now the reason why I'm bringing this out is because the Vilna Gaon didn't buy into any of this. The Vilna Gaon said the two Ramos are steers. So clearly the Vilna Gaon didn't like the Ashagasai's pshat, nor did they like the Emek Yeshua's pshat. Because if you learn like either one of those pshatim, it's not a steer in Ramos, we just presented. So clearly the Vilna Gaon did not think that either of these pshatim are viable.
Because Yotza is still mash.
Correct. I agree. Again, both of these pshatim are taking the word Yotza and really keeping a very open mind in translating that word. 100%.
Could you say that the Ramos talking about two different cases? One is, was a complete 100% Mila, the other place is where there's Nitzatzim left, there's still...
Doesn't
still
sound like it. It sounds like it that the Mila is finished. The baby's going to have a full-blown Mila, and the question...
No, he says, Imkein, Nisharon, Nitzitzin, Ramachin,
a Mila. He's talking about if.
So there's still...
No, that's a follow-up to the case. If there would have been left over, which we'll still have to talk about, the Tzitzin, Ramachin, and Mila, but it seems like that was the end of the case. You know?
So it was on when this came, Ma'akev, and Samila.
Yeah, we're going to have to get to that. We'll talk later about Tzitzin.
Between the shach and the shach. Sorry, let's say you have a mila with his tzaras on the foreskin, right? So you're allowed to remove it if you're doing the mitzvah.
That's right.
If you do it before day eight, you're over and allowed to cutting off the mila. Sure. Because in the shach, where there is a mitzvah,
I say the chalosas.
According to everyone else, that's right.
That would be correct. According to the shach, there is a kiva mitzvah before day seven. While according to everyone else, there's absolutely no kiva mitzvah. Now, yeah.
So you don't know what he means, Rama, in the when he's
over umol belayla.
Yeah, but if he meant that it was before the eighth day, wouldn't he have to say tzarek lazar rachid men adamris after the eighth day? In other words, if you did this on the fifth day, so he it's.
Right, and a chlamy. You're right. I agree. I think you're right. I think if anyone opened up this Ramah without any hearing anything, you would not think it's before day eight. You think it's day eight. I agree with you.
If the baby was born, let's say, last Sunday morning, am I better off according to the Ramon, the Shargis Arya, if I did the Mila tonight rather than last night?
No, because Mila Balayla is the worst scenario. Doing a Mila Balayla is the worst way you can go.
Even though, as someone was asking, I think everybody was past the eighth
day. But Mila Belayla is just a bad time for Mila. The question is before day eight or after day eight, so the Shagasai thinks they're equal. And he thinks maybe you should do it earlier because he's a Matim Le Mitzvah. It's all, if all bets are equal, before day eight and after day eight, so maybe we should do Brisson before day eight. Okay, so that needs more discussion. Now, L'chayra, there's Rayas, and we're skipping a couple of the Marmakimis over here, but there's Rayas backing up the Shagasai, clearly disagreeing with the Shach. Let's go through some of those rayas. For example, if you look at number 9, is a Gemara in Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. Right? I don't know if we're going to get to Kuf Lamed Zayin. That's 7 blot into Rebbe's Gemila. Our track record is no, so I figure let's learn it now. So we'll get to it now. I figured I'm not taking any chances. All those far Gemaras we'll get to right now. So the Gemara talks about a very interesting shayla. The Gemara says, Alma Nechelku, where's their machloikis tanoim? Al Misha Hoyula Beis Tinoikis. Someone had 2 babies. Echod Lomul Achar Shabbos, Echod Lomul Beshabbos. 2 babies. One was supposed to go on day Shabbos. One was supposed to go Sunday. Talk to Gemara. B'shachach umol l'shal achar haShabbos b'Shabbos. And you got the babies out of order. You didn't put on the right label. And you gave the Sunday bris on Shabbos. Now let's just stop for a second. So right away it should jump in our minds. This is mamash machlekes shach and the shagasayah. According to the shach, you did day 7. So day 7 is a mitzvah. While according to the Shagasaria and according to everyone else, it's nothing, it's garnished. You mechal Shabbos. You did a chavola shaloi letzerich. So the Gemara said, it's a machlokes tanoi. Rebbe Eliezer mechayiv chatas, Rebbe Yeshua poiter. Rebbe Eliezer holds yechayiv chatas for that batchup, while Rebbe Yeshua says, you poter. Ushneim loilomdu elam levoides gechavim. They both learn it out from avoides zar. That's the example of doing a iser. Rebbe Eliezer saw that kevoides gechavim. Ma avoides gechavim om rachman leisav. The Torah says, don't do it. Lichi avid mechayiv. And when you do it, you got to bring a carbon. Hachanami loishno. Rabbi Yeshua, hasam loy torad mitzvah. Over there, you weren't cheshbening to try to do a mitzvah. Hacha torid mitzvah. Over here, you were trying to do the right thing. You're not a bad guy. You're not stama mechal or Shabbos Beves. You wanted and you made a mistake. Zot Rashi. Tor ridlis asik b'mitzvah gemura. You wanted to do a full mitzvah. Shari echa mehem zmane hayoyim. Because one of those babies is supposed to be done today. The torah liboy lemahe, and you were in a rush. V'lasois, umitoch tir de tor, umol es zesh ein boy mitzvah klal. No mitzvah at all. No mitzvah at all?
Well, the beginning of Rashi goes
to Gomer, yeah, I saw that. Right? So this Rashi, in the way Rashi learns the Gemara, seems to be very much against what we learned from the Shach. According to the Shach, this Gemara is very difficult to understand. What do you mean? It's not a Tobit Zar Mitzvah. He did a mitzvah. Tobit Zar Mitzvah means I thought I was doing mitzvah, I was doing nothing. That's not true. I was Tobit Zar Mitzvah, the awesome mitzvah. I didn't do mitzvah and I'm Avchor, but I did something. For the Gemara to make a comment that when a person gives a baby on day 8, day 7, a meaningless procedure, it's mamish not true. So this Gemara, the Shagasai brings this Gemara. Shagasai says this Gemara is a very stark araya against the Shach. You see from this Gemara that a baby on day 8, on day 7 is meaningless.
This mitzvah is all over.
It might be, but the point of the Gemara was to figure out, is it considered this gather called Tobit Dvar Mitzvah? Person makes a mistake while trying to do a mitzvah. Think he was doing a mitzvah. Zakti Mar, he thought he was doing a mitzvah, but he really wasn't doing a mitzvah at all. Why not? He was doing a mitzvah. According to the Shach, he was doing a mitzvah.
In our previous Gemaras, he wasn't trying to do a mitzvah.
Which case?
No.
The point is that according to them, you did a mitzvah. According to the Shach, when you give a baby on day 7, you did a mitzvah. Check. So then why was the Gemara saying you didn't do a mitzvah? You did do a mitzvah. That's the kash. So the tzlach, the Nedib Yehuda, comes up with a geshmaka teretz. Just very, we'll just start with this. This will lead us into the sugya. The tzlach on number 12 comes up with a geshmaka answer. He says, no, you have to understand what's the lomnus over here. He says, three lines in Devade Kedim Zman Velein Iskai Mahamitzvah. Zog the tzlach, there's two things over here. There's the Maisa Hamitzvah, and then there's the Kiyum Hamitzvah. Says the tzlach, Aval Emol Toy Ches, Kishi Yegir Yom Ches, Miskayimis Mitzvah Zuh. The way this works is when you give a baby a bris on day 5 there's no mitzvah. On day 8, there'll be the mitzvah. Because on day 8, he doesn't have an orla. His orla was removed on day 8. Therefore, says the tzlach, on day 5 or day 7, when you do the maisa mila, that maisa mila is not a maisa mitzvah. That's why if it's done on Shabbos, it's considered you didn't do a mitzvah. But on the next day, when it's day 8, and this baby wakes up with a orla removed from his body, at that point, it'll be yotzei the mitzvah. So according to the Tzlach, you have the Kiyum HaMitzvah versus the Maisa HaMitzvah. Therefore, says the Tzlach, the Gemara is not a Kasha. The Ramah didn't mean you're Yotza on day 7. When you give a baby a bris on day 7, you're not Yotza on day 7. You'll be Yotza on day 8. When this baby wakes up day 8 without an Orla, because the Mitzvah on day 8 is to not have an Orla on day 8. Not cut off the Orla on day 8. Make sure on day 8 the baby is Orla-less.
And that's why there's a big difference between the day before and the day after.
That's right. That's why, according to this, would be a big difference. So comes along the Tzlach with this whole new understanding that the B'yayim HaShmini doesn't mean when to do the mitzvah. It's when to have the outcome.
By.
Make sure that on day 8 this baby has no Orla.
So it wouldn't matter.
We still have to talk about it. So according to the Tzlach, this comes out unbelievable. The Kiyum HaMitzvah and the Maisa Mitzvah don't take place at the same time. Normally that's not done. Normally you do the mitzvah, and that's you do the act, right? You pick up the lulav, that's the act, and that's when you get the mitzvah. You put on the tefillin, that's the act, and that's the kima mitzvah. Hey, the act is done on day 7, and the mitzvah is not done until day 8.
What's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to not have an oral?
That's right. Exactly.
No,
according to this, really, there is no ma'isa mitzvah. It's just...
Exactly.
Unless it means ubiyayim hashmini, means on the 8th day and onwards, this baby should have no oral. Right?
In other words, here I could already
be shy and miss
without being
machal. That's right. That's the kasha. That's the kasha. That's the bomb kasha. Right.
They're doing on Friday.
That's the kasha.
Can you have a kiyum without a
ma'isa? That's what comes out of Kotanei Tibihud. It's unbelievable chiddush. That the mitzvah of mila is not so much a ma'isa mila. It's really more the toitzah of the mila. This is really the intro to what everyone calls the Beis Halevi's Chakira. The Tanei Tibihud wrote this way before the Beis Halevi. The baby has to be imo. Now that means either I do it, or it gets done, but it has to be come day 8, this baby is early. That's right, that's Pshat
the Ramah. A guy could do it also?
Huh?
A guy could do it also?
Okay, so there's still going to be rules, even, that's the question, even according to the Tzlach, is there still going to be rules on how to do the Ma'aseh Mitzvah? Is there still, meaning you can't do Belaila still? You still can't do Belaila, right? The Ramah says you can't do Belaila. Now you still need to have done if it's done Belaila. So there's still going to be some Pturim that are be'etzem out of the Shem Mila. But according to this Tzlach, and this is really the intro to the famous Beis Halevi that everyone talks about at Bris, that there's two dinim to Mila, it was really said earlier by the Tzlach to Miyasha Diskima. Okay, so Belinedo. What?
When do you make the bracha?
Yeah, the chayrat. You can't make the bracha according to him. You can make the bracha lachnisa. You can't make the bracha ala mila because the ma'isa mila was done on day 7, and day 7 there was no mitzvah. You weren't commanded to do a mila on day 7. So I'll have to talk more about how this works out.
Next week.
We are learning next week. Usually we talk about it in Yom Kippur. I feel like we talked about Shavuos v'Tamuz v'Cholis v'Shabbos a couple times already. And we're just starting a new sugya. So if everyone's okay with continuing the Blaz Demila, unless everyone with Afka wants to talk about the Lamas of Titus Nitzche, I think we'll just continue the Blaz Demila. I think we'll go right there. I want to get to the mission at some point. So I think we'll continue with Blaz Demila. We'll continue where we left off today, Mitzvah.